5:30 a.m. Eastern Wartime. WEIF, New York.
From our studios here in Radio City, New York, George Shackley, seated at the console of the organ, will present a concert of organ music. Following that, we'll present the NBC Concert Orchestra under the direction of Ari Nosko. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, George Shackley.
Gentlemen, the National Broadcasting Company continues its worldwide coverage of the invasion story. We take you now to London.
For all networks, coming over this transmitter in 45 seconds from now. 45 seconds coming up. Woof. Stand by for a pool broadcast by Stanley Richardson over this circuit. Stanley Richardson in London. There's little late news to report on the invasion of northern France. The
beyond the communique you heard a few minutes ago.
That said, Allied landings had continued throughout yesterday.
Presumably, fighting is going on a fairly large scale. But there's nothing to indicate as yet the extent or the effectiveness of German resistance. A spokesman for Supreme Allied Headquarters here in London acknowledged this morning that there was heavy fighting on the beaches in some localities during the initial assault yesterday. It was not until midday yesterday, he said, that most of our beachheads were free from direct enemy fire. He warned that the many early reports of lack of resistance by the Germans dealt only with the operations preceding the actual invasion. It may be some time yet before we will be told how widespread was the resistance beginning with the period of the landings themselves. But the obvious inference from the spokesman's remarks was that we should not allow ourselves to become over-optimistic to the extent that we lead ourselves to believe the operation from now on is going to be a walkaway for the Allied armies. The chances are that it certainly will not be any easy task. In support of this belief, a naval spokesman for Allied headquarters indicated that enemy attempts to get their submarines into the channel are expected. At least, they are expected to the extent that thorough defense preparations have been made to deal with them should they try to get into the area of operations. The work of our naval protecting units is not over, the spokesman added, and they may be heavily tested later. In this connection, it was emphasized that not all of the enemy shore batteries have been altogether obliterated. Although most of them were put temporarily out of action by our naval and aircraft bombardment prior to the landing, it was stated some of them at least may have been restored to some usable shape. In any case, it was stated officially that the Allied naval bombardment of the northern French coast may have to continue for some time. There have been no casualties to United States naval craft since yesterday beyond those announced by President Roosevelt. During yesterday, American 8th Air Force heavy bombers flew 4,300 sorties over the area of operations. The American 9th Air Force flew 4,800 sorties. This is Stanley Richardson returning you now to the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, NBC's overseas reporter Stanley Richardson has spoke to you from London. We now resume our musical program.
Ori Nosco conducts the NBC Concert Orchestra and a John Philip Sousa march, The Invincible Eagle. operatic. Such are the adjectives for this next music, The Suite for Orchestra from Sigurd Jorsalfar by Edvard Grieg. Most of the dramatic compositions of Edvard Grieg for large orchestra were inspired by poetic works of Bjornson. Sigurd Jorsalfar is not one of this famous poet's chief works, but according to Grieg's claim, it is a folk piece in the best sense of the word, and is often performed on national holidays. In its entirety, the incidental music to this play consists of characteristic numbers, which are in keeping with the dramatic story of the adventurous Norwegian crusader. It is originally scored for solo, male chorus, and orchestra. The principal numbers of this score, which are to be presented by Mr. Nosco, are the introduction, intermezzo, and a triumphal march. In the introduction, Grieg has succeeded in giving a musical picture of his hero in all his strength and ruggedness. While containing all of the characteristic and melodic beauty of his best works, Edvard Grieg has succeeded in giving an additional touch of striking originality to this number through virtue of the virility and inherent spontaneity of his themes. The intermezzo is a composition of inspired beauty. For those who are fond of comparison, it may not be devoid of interest to view this number beside Elsa's Vision, Richard Wagner's Lohengrin. The two composers are curiously divergent. Both, though, have seized the possibilities of a simple scale as a means of expressing an emotion. With Wagner, the dream would seem to float upwards, soaring ever higher and higher. With Grieg, it tends to descend as from heaven to earth. The triumphal march is one of the most superb marches in existence. It is one of the longest of Grieg's compositions and one of the most stirring. Its second part is one of the most exquisitely tender episodes in all musical literature, a melody rivaling Schubert, the greatest of all melodists, at his very best. Mr. Nosco, the NBC Concert Orchestra, give you now this suite for orchestra from Sigurd Jorsalfar. Thank you. Selections from Sigurd Jorsalfar by Edvard Grieg, played for you by the NBC Concert Orchestra under the direction of Henri Nosco. George Shackley, seated at the console of the organ, plays for us now a melody from the pen of the French composer, Alexandre Guillemont. His grand chorus.
Thank you.
George Shackley at the console of the organ has played music for you from our studios in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.